opens up today. We see an interaction between Jesus and the disciples, don't we? Jesus is instructing the disciples in the art of persistence, seamlessly joined to the topic of prayer. Now, to me, it's kind of odd that the disciples would need a lesson in persistence and prayer, especially this far into the game with Jesus. Now, we may assume that only contemporary and rather non-religious type people would have problems with these things, but Jesus knew better. He knew the hearts of men, and he certainly knew the hearts of his disciples. We all have problems with persistence and prayer. And why is this? Prayer can be a very hard thing to understand and continue to do, especially when we begin to wonder if prayer does any good at all. Think about this. So many of our prayers can seem to go unanswered in the way that we ask them. Prayers for health, but there's still that spot on the x-ray. We pray for peace, but it can be very, very hard to continually look forward, to pray into the future. We pray for our children, but sometimes they still find the hardness of life very hard to bear. The story that Jesus told his disciples was about an absolutely horrible judge. The judge hated people. He hated God. And unfortunately, appearing in his courtroom was a very poor widow who needed justice but had nothing. Nothing. She had no money. She had no husband. She had no standing, no power. She didn't have any resources. Well, to say she had nothing was just a bit of an overstatement. She did have one thing. She had all day long to focus her attention on the one person, in her opinion, who needed to hear her out. And when God provides you a hammer, I think you better use it. She annoyed this judge constantly. She shouted aloud for justice in the courtroom. She knocked on his chamber door. She left messages on his answering machine. The judge is at last worn to a frazzle. You can picture him saying, just throwing up his hands and saying, okay, I get it. I give up. It's too much for me to handle now. Now, as in all parables, there are different levels of meaning. Just when you think you have your hands wrapped around the meaning of a parable, more revelation will come in. Maybe Jesus wants us to focus on this judge character. We can see that he did finally relent and vindicate the woman, and that would definitely qualify as a lesson in persistence, that finally God will grant requests that we make of him. But you know, maybe Jesus wants us to focus on the widow of the parable. Did you notice how she went after what she needed? It was, after all, her persistence that managed to wrangle justice from the judge. And maybe that's what Jesus wants. Pray like that. Pray like the widow. Cry out loud. Bang on the doors of heaven without ceasing. And here, as in so many of the gospel passages, we can imagine the disciples sagely stroking their bearded chins saying, oh, I'm going to be as persistent as that widow. I'll never lose heart. I have this faith thing figured out. I am diligent in prayer. Right. From the same disciples who were so persistent in faith that they fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're so rock solid that as Jesus is arrested, you see them slinking away to the shadows. And what about the rock, Peter? When it comes to his own skin, what does he do? He denies the Lord three times. But you know what? Their actions shed light upon our actions even today, do they not? We can sit in judgment on the disciples if we want to and think that we have it all figured out ourselves, but I'm not so sure that's a great strategy. We have to face the fact that perhaps we are just like the disciples. Think about that. We do a good job talking the talk about being faithful and steadfast. But those of us who actually know about those things understand how hard it actually is. This fellow, G.K. Chesterton, many people know him, wrote, "Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been tried and found hard and then left untried." Those are words to ponder, and I think they reflect what the disciples were going through. Are we really diligent enough to wear the God of the universe down with prayer? Perhaps some are. But more than likely, we need to take another look at the parable and reframe it. Can we read the parable as a testimony to the persistence of God in Christ, who wants us to grant Him what is rightfully and justly His? What happens if this parable speaks to the resolute, persistent, unrelenting God who keeps knocking on our door, the door of our heart, challenging us to respond, pressing on us to accept His claim on our lives, urging us to finally relent and make Him Lord of all? All through Scripture, we can trace God's unwavering claim on God's people, the covenant with Abraham, the giving of the Torah to the freed Hebrew slaves. And when God's children rebelled and fell into selfish ways, what happens? God sends the prophets to press God's claim and call for justice and fairness. This is why it's so critical to take a strong look at the letter to Timothy, to take the Scriptures seriously. There was a study a while back that indicated that there are a large percentage of people who identify themselves as Christians but could not name four books of the Bible outside of the Gospels. Now that's pretty telling. Timothy is told in that letter that the sacred writings will instruct for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. And this is the crucial link forged for believers by God. The most direct link for people to understand God is through the Bible, through the Scriptures that are God-breathed. Now, this is a statement about their origin and their power in the lives of followers throughout the millennium. It's so critical to understand this link that in order for us to make sense of life, for us to understand what God is doing today, we have to rely on Scripture to point the way. And it's this simple fact that allows us to understand the parable of Jesus. It is in the volume of His sacred word that we can begin to understand how God is actually after us day by day, in season and out of season, when we have faith and when we act as if we don't have any faith at all. And so if this parable is a mirror for our lives, then maybe the face we see in the mirror in the morning, we can begin to see the judge looking back at us. The judge who Jesus said feared neither God nor man. Now, if we think about it in that way, us looking at the judge's face in the mirror, that's not exactly the feel-good story of the decade. Who wants to show up in the guise of the judge? But then in the parable, the judge does eventually grant justice. Maybe, just maybe, the good news in this story for us is that God is like the widow, unrelenting, persistent, assertive. God hasn't given up on us even when we act as if we have regard for neither man nor Him. Any way we choose to look at this parable, and there are many ways, we must acknowledge that this parable is about rescue. It's about rescue, God's rescue of His beloved, Now, Jesus ends this parable with an admonition to his disciples not to lose heart, to be persistent in prayer for his return in glory to judge the world. And this admonition is all the more relevant and important because it is directly related to the discussion in the previous chapter of the gospel about the return of the Son of Man, of Jesus, and the coming of judgment at the end times. Jesus' description of those end times, what those would look like, was so unnerving and no doubt terrifying for the disciples as they heard it. He speaks of godless iniquity, strife, suffering, and he tells them that during this time, even his followers will be tested. But they must not turn back from following him. This is the context that Jesus tells this parable of the persistent widow, reminding his disciples to be persistent, faithful in prayer, and to trust in the mercy of God, who will hear the prayers of his people and act on them. Will you pray with me? Almighty and everlasting God, who in Christ hast revealed thy glory among the nations, preserve the works of thy mercy, that thy church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of thy name, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.